WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When Dublin's Gate Theatre production of Hamlet at St. Anne's Warehouse begins, the stage is dark, enveloped with smoke from burning incense. Enter Hamlet, compact, dressed in black, face racked with grief over the death of his father, the king. A ghost then tells the young Dane that the king was murdered by his own brother, Hamlet's uncle Claudius, who has just married Hamlet's mother, Queen Gertrude. Hamlet vows revenge. In this case, Hamlet is played by Academy Award nominee Ruth Negga. Under the direction of Yael Farber, Hamlet becomes more than a revenge tragedy. It is a very tense psychodrama wrapped in a ghost story, with costuming offering modern-day symbolism, a corrupt leader in jackboots, a queen looking very much like a first lady at an inauguration. Joining us today is the actress who plays Queen Gertrude, Fiona Bell. Hi, Fiona.
Hello.
And director Yael Farber. Yael, thanks for coming in.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
So when you sat down and you thought about doing a production of Hamlet, What questions did you think about? How did you discuss it, considering our current political climate? What felt particularly timely about Hamlet now?
As soon as the idea came up for doing a Hamlet, the question for me always is, do we need another Hamlet? Do we need another anything? Because when you have the stage say something, I grew up in a very political country. I grew up in apartheid South Africa. And I know that it's a very expensive thing. I don't mean monetarily, but it means something to have the microphone, to have the stage. So my question of, does the world need another Hamlet? But there was a particular kind of Hamlet that I could see, could leverage the realities that we're living now. And the line that stuck out for me was, the time is out of joint, O cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right. And so I was particularly interested in a Hamlet, and we found that in Ruth Negga for various reasons, who could actually speak to the urgency of the political moment right now in the world, where we're in a post-truth moment. Mm-hmm. Where I think, you know, Claudius is gaslighting everybody. Everybody's folding in around him. The sycophants are surrounding him. There's some magnificent lines that describe exactly that. That would be pretty much a perfect description of a lot of the politics we're watching being played out right now.
Fiona, when you think about Hamlet, does it take on a different tone in the current environment?
I suppose in terms of my role in it, mm-hmm. It does. I think the way that Yael has cut the play and shaped mm-hmm. the play, mm-hmm. And sort of how she shaped the female roles within it is very telling. You know, that this Elsinore, there's no place for women mm-hmm. or for female sensibilities. So It's made it clearer for me playing Gertrude, because my choices are very limited in terms of where she can go as a person. She is very much defined by the men around her. And I think that's mirroring certainly, you know, mm-hmm. something that's going on at the moment in society in terms of women in the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. You're going to accept that her reality is totally closed down. She has no options.
So she has to make her choices. Mm-hmm. It's, mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them that are really interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought about Gertrude. Have you seen Little Women?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The speech that Amy gives about marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is a really very different way of thinking about Amy in Little Women.
Yeah.
As this is a business proposition. This Absolutely. Is the way I have, this is my currency in the world, is uh-huh. my ability to marry. And uh-huh. I thought about that with this version of Gertrude a little bit. Yeah. She is yeah. so practical. She knows what she has to do after the king dies.
Oh, yeah. I think it's very expedient. Now, I'm not saying that she's, I mean, I think we do kind of hint at it in the production that she's not necessarily unhappy either. That there is mm-hmm. there that there is a it's a grey area. You know, like Shakespeare gives you really no clues as to where Gertrude is coming from, so it's open to mm-hmm. be played really in any way. And she's been a villain and an angel. She's run, you know, the gamut. And what I like in this is that I've got a very linear line through it. Mm-hmm. That yeah, she's made a choice. She seems to be happy enough, but that when she finds out that she's made the wrong choice, then, you know, then her trajectory takes a very, you know, mm-hmm. steep yeah. trajectory mm-hmm. downwards.
I think the way the couple are focused, it defines the kind of production you're going to do. And if mm-hmm. because, you know, Hamlet has been taken on through the decades, through the centuries, in many ways, this psychoanalytical approach arose that he's this desperately self-hating, vacillating, indecisive, melancholic prince. And I think his responses are entirely appropriate. Yeah. He's mm-hmm. he's the one person who's actually responding mm-hmm. appropriately to the situation. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that struck me the most, was that if we angled that relationship within Claudius and Gertrude as a couple who are in love and just have a right to be in love, and mm-hmm. Hamlet's being, you know, a difficult, petulant, bratty child mm-hmm. who then, you know, is a bit of a wimp who can't get it together to enact the revenge that the ghost asks. Again, you know, for me, we're in a very political moment. I come from a very political background. There is a takeover. There's something has been stolen mm-hmm. right in the beginning. The power has been usurped. And to set the production up as a, you know, that there is a frivolity around that coupling between Gertrude and Claudius, it's not the kind of production I would ever feel I'd want to put my blood, sweat and tears mm-hmm. behind. I'm interested in a Hamlet that speaks to the urgency of the moment.
That's so interesting, because there's a line in the press material that I've been rolling around with, and it's on the, when you go to the St. Anne's website, it says, you shifted the focus from anguish and identity to the power of resistance.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit for me?
I mean, what I think what Ruth is so masterful at is how she moves from that starting point of grief, where you just first understand that you've lost your father. Mm-hmm. And there's that magnificent speech in the beginning, you know, where Gertrude and Claudius both reiterate, we will all lose our fathers. But from there, something breaks open into Hamlet has to come into his own as somebody who... To me, the indecisiveness is not some kind of pathology. It's actually all of us at this moment in time. What will you do in the hour that mm-hmm. counts? Will you step up? Can you, you know, can you rise up to place yourself in a moment that defines you and history within your conscience? I mean, mm-hmm. all the theatre I'm interested in, from The Crucible to any play I'm directing, I'm interested in what the good man or woman does in the hour where you're asked to really show yourself and your courage. And so, you know, Ruth and I have even spoken about that final magnificent speech where, you know, the sparrow speech, there is providence in the fall of a sparrow. And finally he says, the readiness is all. I've often just been struck by, you know, a Martin Luther King or a, mm-hmm. these figures that... they know that once they've taken something on in which they have pushed right up against the system, whether in peace or in violence, as Hamlet mm-hmm. does, there's a moment where you understand you will be paying the ultimate price. I believe Hamlet enters that final fencing match, understanding at some level that price will be paid, but that, to me, Hamlet has become complete in his politics by the end.
My guests are Yael Farber, the director of Hamlet, which is currently at St. Anne's Warehouse, and Fiona Bell, who plays Queen Gertrude. The staging is really exciting and very spooky and very creepy in the best kind of way. But I do want to talk about that a lot of the action takes place in the audience. Mm-hmm. The actors come into the audience when they're watching the play within a play. Fiona, you are seated in the audience.
Yeah.
For you as an actor, what do you like about that kind of staging?
I suppose there's the element of surprise, first of all. And also, I think especially in St. Anne's, it works very well here, that they can see you. close up. Mm-hmm. That brings a sort of instant kind of added humanity to you. I mean, because it's different when you're just watching somebody on a stage to have them suddenly sitting in front of you having the reactions, mm-hmm. and then it just it makes it much more immediate. And I also think it slightly takes the curse off of them and us, mm-hmm. you know. And I think this production, you know, Yael talks a lot to us about, you know, about our to have a lack of self-consciousness when you're playing something as epic as we are. So anything that helps you share in the humanity, our humanity as mm-hmm. performers, and the humanity in the audience, is a kind of added bonus.
I'd love to talk to you about your costuming and what that does for you. That's it's so, especially when we first meet you, you're some sort of version of Melania Trump, yeah. and Jackie O, a yeah. little bit mixed yeah. in there. It's this. I mean, you look gorgeous in this dress,
yeah.
but it is definitely saying something to us as the audience. In the audience, what does it say to you as an actor when you put on that suit?
I think that it's very much a costume. It's armor, and she's projecting an image, and yes, it is very like the Melania dress from the inauguration, and I think that's meant to be mm-hmm. a very direct comment. I can't think it's. I mean, Susan Hilferty's costumes are. They're just sublime, and they're beautiful to wear. I mean, it's not just that they create a message, and they're actually incredibly practical all at the same mm-hmm. time. You know, they work on every level.
Mm-hmm. What were the conversations around and the costuming? Because it's very modern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an extraordinary collaboration with Susan Hilferty, and she really is the finest kind of artist when it comes to, as Fiona says, creating costumes that evoke something. But it's done in a way, because theatre is, you know, those clothes have to be worn every day, mm-hmm. You know, 8 times a week. It's always the question, what era are you going to place something in? And I feel strangely, just as much as when we lock something down into, you know, some kind of anthropological idea of Elizabethan England, as soon as you lock something specifically into one decade, you have to start asking yourself questions like, well, why don't they have cell phones? And, you know, all mm-hmm. of that stuff that changes storylines. So what I enjoy very much in my conversations with Susan is talking about how we can open that space up, that we can, you know, theatre's like it's very Jungian, it's a kind of a dream where we just want to trigger thoughts and ideas, or certainly the kind of theatre I'm interested in making. It just, there's symbolism. So yes, we had a very direct conversation. I said, I think that inauguration outfit should evoke Melania Trump and aspects, yes, of you know, various presidential first wives, but it was such a specific choice made. Mm-hmm. But what was very important to me was that we didn't then lock the production into this being about that mm-hmm. couple. It isn't. Mm-hmm. It's so much wider than that. I want people from any country that understands power takeover to watch the work and to have that moment of symbolism ricochet mm-hmm. in the room, and then to also not let that trap us conceptually. So this is what Susan and I were constantly talking about, was how we expand and contract from specificity to the wider possibilities of then allowing the work to speak for itself and not get cornered into, now we have to answer everything according to a specific moment in time.
So you have the sort of the micro is important in terms of the development of the character, but you have to pull back mm-hmm. out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you
That's
can get right. the bigger themes and issues. Right. I'm interested in the costuming for Ruth Negga, because mm-hmm. she's the tiniest little thing, but it's clearly, I chose the word compact for a reason.
Yeah.
Because also this Hamlet just seems like it's a whole, he, she, the character is holding yes. so much in the way that she plays him. You use the male pronouns. What did you want from the costuming? Is almost like a very form-fitting Prada-esque black suit on Ruth, and she's also incredibly physical. She's mm-hmm. jumping. She's mm-hmm. moving. Her limbs are going everywhere. Mm-hmm. What did you want her to look like? What did you want her? And what did you two decide the physicality of this Hamlet would be?
You know, I think one of the extraordinary challenges of Hamlet is that anybody who's playing Hamlet, Hamlet is supposed to be very young. He's a prince. And yet, to play Hamlet, you have to have a certain amount of life experience. I think it's very hard to play Hamlet when you're 23 or 20 years old, mm-hmm. which would be, you know, closer, possibly even younger. So the great gift of Ruth being a woman, but playing something that feels much more fluid, playing Hamlet with the male pronouns and mm-hmm. And being called a prince, you first of all get the youth, the mm-hmm. fragility to us in a sense when it begins. Everybody's so much taller than her. She's tiny, but do not be fooled. That woman is
tiny but mighty, as we like to say.
Exactly. There's an engine on her that, you know, and a massive heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was very important as well that that there was a form fitting. And again, Hilferty's magic of Susan's magic of just creating something that would allow a silhouette where we could see how lithe and how articulate Ruth is in her body, because the body has to speak as loudly as the words. And so, you know, at first, you know, I said to Ruth straight up, we're not playing Hamlet as a woman. For the sake of simplicity, the pronouns are there, etc. And just access, I mean, in many ways, gender is performative. And watching Ruth, even on our first photo shoot, we had barely begun our process, her getting into a suit, and you see that we are so learnt in how we arrange our bodies, mm-hmm. how we dress ourselves, and there's something incredibly exciting happening in the world now, where something of that, certainly in countries that are allowing enough of that liberation to happen, the fluidity of that is very, very freeing. And so something is able to be articulated about the youth, the gender fluidity, and really her dynamic capacities as a performer to move. We knew this was going to be a very physical Hamlet.
And what's nice as well, I like about her costume, is that it mirrors or keeps the echo of the players, doesn't it? Because we all start the play players, mm-hmm. you know, and almost like as every man going, we're all players, we all play our roles. Right. We're playing the roles of actors tonight. And then the audience see us change into our roles that we are playing within the show.
That's so right. Thank you for raising that, Fee, because, that was very much part of the first concept, was just, you know, when those players arrive at the castle door, to bring the truth. The play is the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. I had said to Hilferty, I'd like everybody, so I call her Hilferty because mm-hmm. there are two Susans always in the room. Susan, I had said, you know, when these actors arrive, they are the troop of players that turn up at our castle when the audience sit down. They're the people who arrive, all of them, to catch the conscience of the king. And so Ruth, and she also maintains her suit of woe.
Yeah.
So it's a grieving suit.
That is the first thing you will see when you go to mm-hmm. see Hamlet. I understand you're sold out, but there is some limited ticket availability. So people who are at home who are thinking, I can't go, there is a possibility.
There are
rush tickets. It is playing at St. Anne's Warehouse through March 8th. Yael Farber and Fiona Bell, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.